The RPG After Years is part of the We Can Make This Work Probably Network. Find out more at probablywork.com.
Good evening, 003. The following is for your ears only and is classified above top secret by Her Majesty's Secret Service. Our contact with the We Can Make This Work Probably podcast network intercepted an encrypted audio message regarding podcasters assembled. For this season, the podcast network is looking to recruit field operatives from around the world to reminisce about the Bond movies in a countdown to the latest film in the franchise, No Time to Die. Your primary objective is to infiltrate podcasters assembled by recording and uploading your submissions at probablywork.com, utilizing a two-way communications device with a built-in microphone, the latest from QBranch. For a full mission report, go to probablywork.com. We're all counting on you, 003.
Hey, everybody. Real quick before we get started today. Hey, this is Scott, by the way. I just wanted to... You were probably confused by the episode title. It's an Animal Crossing New Horizons review that Corey and I did months and months ago for the Patreon, one of our non-RPG reviews, which is one of the Patreon benefits. But anyway, the reason it's out on the main feed and not a regular episode is because we had technical difficulties this week and weren't able to actually record. But I wanted to throw out something out there for you guys. So hopefully we got some Animal Crossing lovers out there. Yeah, so without further ado, let's get to the review. Welcome to the RPG After Years, your weekly show covering all things RPGs from the past, present, and future. This is a bonus Patreon exclusive episode. I'm Scott, and with me today is a terror feared the world over, and my partner in crime.
It's Corey.
We're here again for another non-RPG review. You'll never believe this, but the game is not Mario related.
Bum bum bum. We're going to review 2020's Animal Crossing New Horizons on the Nintendo Switch.
It is Nintendo related, though, quite heavily.
Of course.
Since this is a bonus non-RPG review, we won't be doing all our normal segments. No news, no Patreon talk, no tea time, no catch-up, just straight-up review goodness. So let's just jump right in. Real quick, I should say, we, despite this being a Patreon exclusive thing, we are streaming it to Twitch, but it will not be live once we are not live, as in this is the only chance for the public to catch it as we record.
Good luck.
So yeah, Animal Crossing New Horizons, that came out on March 20th, 2020, so not that long ago. And so let me pull up my date duration.
That's our calculator here. That's our anniversary.
Oh yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yep.
It's like Nintendo was celebrating us. 2020, today, that was, and today is August 1st as of this recording. That was 134 days ago. So,
Jesus.
does that feel like it's been longer than that or shorter than that to you?
It feels like it's been 5 years.
Yeah.
That was the week, that was my second week of working from home.
Yep. It was still pretty early in our corona pandemic, which we'll talk about some more later on. So we're trying something a little new with the this what was going on in the world at the time segment that we always start our reviews with. We're going to see like what was the top news stories at the time of release. So this is pretty recent in memory, so this might not shock too many people. But in the U.S., the very top story from the New York Times was, as Trump ignores virus crisis, Republicans start to break ranks. Looking down the other stories here, it's all related to crippled economies, doom and gloom, the coronavirus, and this one's offensive. Europe said it was pandemic ready, but then pride was its downfall. Damn gays.
No, I don't think they meant that pride, but looking back, they say Europe basically had a downfall of handling the virus. Boy, hindsight's a bitch, isn't it? Looking back, they're much better than we are.
Yeah, that's true.
That stings a little bit.
This is all very political, so we won't go too far down that rabbit hole. I was telling Corey before we started the review that if we're going to keep the news segment, we should probably pull it from pop culture pages instead. But
I don't want to talk about the virus anymore. We all know Trump ignored it.
Right. The UK news, Cambridge Analytica boasts of dirty tricks to swing elections. Well, we all know about that. Theresa May under fire over Brexit transition deal. And now she is gone.
Yeah, that didn't last long.
Some of these things, I don't know what it means. This is all Bill territory here. Tories head for record low in London local elections.
Tories is, I think that's one of their political parties, the Tories.
Yeah, it is. That's okay. That's about all I know about them, though.
I think the Tories are supposed to be like our MAGA people.
Mm, interesting.
I think.
And then Michael Sheen launches campaign against high cost lenders. I don't know.
Go Michael Sheen.
Another thing that we always do is we go over what is the what was the top music hits in the U.S. and the U.K. at the time of release. So on March 20th, 2020, the number one song in the U.S. was The Box by Roddy Ricch.
What even is this?
Pulling out the coupe at the lot, told him fuck 12, fuck SWAT, buzzing all the bells out the box. I just hit a leak with the box, had to put the stick in the box. Pour up the whole damn seal, I'ma get lazy. I got the mojo deals, we been trapping like the 80. She
said the nigga so. That is not my thing.
No, don't like that.
I don't even remember ever hearing this song.
I don't know what this is.
How was it number one? I guess we were in quarantine, so I wasn't listening to radio ever.
Well, even if I don't listen to radio either, but I still like know what songs are out. I've never heard of this.
Also think I heard a dirty word in there.
Might want to edit that.
Yeah. And then in the UK is a song that has been featured on the show before. It's Blinding Lights by The Weeknd.
Yeah.
I like this song.
Much more my jam.
I can't remember what a review it was that we did together, but I know that we've listened to this on the show before.
I'm digging it.
Sounds very 80s-ish.
It does, yeah. It's very, very like mid-80s.
If I didn't know the song beforehand, if I heard it, I would have assumed it was an 80s song. But yeah, in this case, the UK had a better taste than us.
Yep, the UK wins that round.
Alrighty, so then we'll move on to what was number one at the box office.
All right, so this is one of those rare times where the US and the UK both agreed on what movie to support, and it was Onward. That's the is that the animated one that has the characters voiced by Chris Pratt and
yep,
it's Tom Holland.
It's the two guys that they're
the brothers.
They bring half their dad back, and they have to get the other.
Yeah,
half.
That was an adorable movie.
It was a good movie. I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Not one of my like top Pixar movies or anything like that, but I enjoyed it quite a bit. Is it Pixar or is it just Disney? I think it was Pixar.
I mean, I don't know at this point.
If you'll remember this, I think this movie was what started the trend of releasing theatrical movies straight to streaming because of the virus.
Yeah, it hit Disney Plus first, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. And I imagine that's why it was so hyped.
Wouldn't doubt it. But that was a good call on their part.
Yeah, I liked it. I was pretty drunk when we watched it, so I don't remember it too well. But
it was one of the few nights where you were actually pretty lit, and I was like just captivated by the movie and forgot to drink.
Right. Oops.
Oops.
All right, so we'll go on to the history here.
All right. Animal Crossing New Horizons is a 2020 life simulation video game developed and published by Nintendo for the Nintendo Switch. It is the fifth main series title in the Animal Crossing series. In New Horizons, the player assumes the role of a customizable character who moves to a deserted island after purchasing a package from Tom Nook, a Tanuki character who has appeared in every entry of the Animal Crossing series. Taking place in real time, the player can explore the island in a non-linear fashion, gathering and crafting items, catching insects and fish, and developing the island into a community of anthropomorphic animals.
It's always interesting when somebody who's not familiar to the franchise, it's like, what is Animal Crossing? What do you do? And then
just
I'm just
play
like,
it.
I'm just like, it's a life sim? You live on your island?
But you're an animal?
Well, technically, you're the only one that's not an animal.
True, yeah.
Although humans are animals, I guess. Yeah. Anyway, development of a new main series Animal Crossing title for the Nintendo Switch was confirmed in a Nintendo Direct on September 13th, 2018, with an unspecified 2019 release date. The game was officially revealed at their E3 2019 Direct. However, it was delayed to March 20th, 2020, with Yoshiaki Koizumi, that's the Switch Snap guy, stating that, quote, to ensure that the game was the best it could be, Nintendo had to ask that players wait a little longer than Nintendo itself thought. Nintendo of America president Doug Bowser cited a desire to avoid crunch and maintain a healthy work-life balance for Nintendo employees as the primary reason for the delay. Nintendo's stock market value posted a 3.5% loss in reaction to the delay, amounting to a total loss and a value of more than US $1
billion. $1 billion is only 3.5%.
That's crazy.
That is enormous.
Here lately, there have been lots of stories about crunch in the video game development history and like taking advantage of employees' work-life balance and all that.
Yeah, 70-hour weeks and all that.
Who knows how true that is, but it seems like Nintendo was like, ooh, here's a chance to capitalize and get some good PR on that.
Yeah. Director Aya Kayagoku and producer Hisashi Nagami stated that they selected a deserted island as the game's setting to differentiate it from previous Animal Crossing titles, which were set in established villages, and to allow greater freedom for the player to customize the game's world.
I think that was a great decision on that part. It really feels like it's your island. Or your town.
Agreed.
Or whatever.
Totally agree.
Yeah. Although past games had most, if not all, time-limited holidays and events built into the game, Nintendo decided to take a different route for New Horizons. They confirmed it would receive frequent post-release updates, most of them based around real-life events and holidays. So far, we have had Bunny Day, Nature Day, May Day, summer events and other minor updates. And I believe they're doing like a fireworks thing here soon.
I think they've already released it. I think
maybe.
Upon release, video game retailer EB Games attracted criticism for allowing fans who pre-ordered the game, along with Doom Eternal, to line up at its flagship Canadian location in Toronto amid the COVID-19 pandemic.
Animal Crossing infected people, apparently.
No, EB Games did.
New Horizons received acclaim from critics, with many praising its gameplay and customization options. It sold 5 million digital copies in its first month, breaking the console game record for most digital units sold in a single month. It became the best-selling game in the Animal Crossing series after 6 weeks, with 13.41 million units sold. Its success has been partially attributed to its release during the COVID-19 pandemic, with players seeking a sense of escapism and worldwide stay-at-home orders. That is very true. It's like the perfect quarantine game. You can just...
Yeah, the timing couldn't have been more perfect.
It's like, well... Sorry for the reasoning, but I'm sure Nintendo wasn't necessarily complaining.
New conspiracy theory. Nintendo started COVID just to make people want to play New Horizons.
That's canon now. But, I mean, it is like a really good like escapism game. You can like sort of not think about your own actual life during it. And on top of that, it's really easy to just dump hours and hours into.
Which we did. And we were holy fucking shit, it's bedtime.
That's about all I could find on the history of the game. It's still a relatively new game, so no real surprises there. So there's not really a story in the game. You kind of make your own story in some ways. So we're just going to move straight on to the gameplay. Basically, the concept is you and a couple other villagers have purchased like a vacation package from Tom Nook and or what's his company? Nook Inc.
Nook Inc.
Yep. And so you fly to this deserted island with Tom Nook and his nephews, Timmy and Tommy, and a couple other villagers, random villagers. And you basically have to set up your island from scratch because there's like literally nothing on it. And so, like, the first week of gameplay, and by that I mean, like, in-game or IRL week, you basically spend that just setting up the island. So, on day one, you have to donate 5 bugs or fish to Tom Nook. You have to, like, pay off your tent that he sets you up in. You have to increase your inventory space by buying the tool ring. You have to like harvest a bunch of resources for them. And you also, I believe you have to like find food so you can have like a camp out at the plaza.
Yeah, there's something you have to do for the plaza.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it was find food or like catch like a certain amount of fish or something.
Yep. You got like weeds everywhere, that you can choose to pick up if you want. I did, much to Corey's dismay at the time. But it eventually...
I didn't know if they like grew into flowers. Like this was my first like Animal Crossing exposure. So I was like, are they actually weeds? Are they going to grow into flowers? What's happening here?
Yeah. Well, you had played Pocket Camp for a couple of weeks back when that came out to mobile.
Yeah, but that was, you know, nothing compared to the scale of this one.
Yeah. We actually, the two of us were on the fence for whether or not we were going to get the game. And we were just like, because I've played Animal Crossings before. I had a Wild World and City Folk and the GameCube one, the original. And I liked those, and I had a good time with them. But I remember after a while, it got to start to feel like a chore. And then I would like put it down forever. And it just seems like, this seems like a great time waster. but we got it, and we couldn't believe we ever second guessed that because we had so much fun with it.
Oh, we really did. And just dumped hours and hours into that game.
Yep. So on the second day, you get the museum starts to set up by an owl named Blathers.
Oh, Blathers.
you got to like donate a bunch of fish and bugs to him, which you can use your tools for. You get like a net and a fishing rod. You bring resources for the store. There's a new feature called Nook Tickets, which allows you to fly to random islands and sort of gather resources there. Which we'll talk about more about the island tours in a bit. Basically, you just go through the process of like upgrading your island until it starts to feel like a town. Eventually, Resident Services, which is what Nook runs, turns into like a full-blown building. One of the Animal Crossing mascots, Isabelle, she comes in and onto the force and takes over like island maintenance. You get a store built, and slowly but surely, your island starts to feel more like a town than a deserted island.
Starts coming around.
Yeah. So how did you feel about like this first week of gameplay? You just getting everything set up.
We going all the way down through day 7?
Sure.
Okay. again, it's how do you explain it? It's, I mean, you spend quote 7 days just doing basically setup stuff. So it can be a little mundane at times, but also everything like, especially, well, I don't know if other people would feel that way, but like for me, it was a new experience. So it didn't really feel boring or anything like that to me, because it was new stuff. Like, oh, I get to go, you know, catch 5 bugs. Let's wander the island for an hour looking for bugs, and let's see what happens when I upgrade this building. So I can see how some people could say it was like maybe a little boring, but for me, I thought it was fun.
One complaint I've heard about is it takes way too long to get to the point to where it opens up more of like what you can and do and what you should be doing and get to choose what you're doing. So
I feel like if they like just flood you with all that, though, that takes out some of the, I don't know, some of the experience.
Yeah. One thing is they play like the same music track. They add like slightly more instruments on each day, but it's like the hourly music does not start until until Resident Services is built.
That's part of the charm.
Right. Okay, so I'm going to start looking at some of the gameplay elements here. So one new feature is Tom Nook gives you a Nook phone, which is basically a cell phone. It has a bunch of apps on it that let you, it's sort of like your command center. It's like a improved menu from New Leaf, which, by the way, I have not played New Leaf. That's the only one I haven't played, and apparently that's the best one. Well, until this one.
Best say until this one came along.
Yeah. So one interesting thing that grabbed me from the beginning, normally in Animal Crossing, your currency is bells. Which that is still true, but at the beginning of the game, they made it seem like it was going to be Nook Miles, which Nook Miles kind of just boils down to an achievement system almost. So it's like plant 5 flowers or pop 10 balloons and so on, or get your first house built, things like that. And you just slowly get more miles, and those are a special currency you can use to buy things from the Nook Stop, which is sort of like an ATM. Like island tickets and exclusive furniture and all that.
And you can literally get unlimited Nook Miles. There is always, always, always tasks that will give you Nook Miles.
Yep. Even if you somehow, you're crazy and you somehow get through all like the set achievements, there are also like daily time limited tasks. And those are just endless. Once you, you know, fulfill one condition, it gives you another one.
Yep.
So that was interesting. I always, but after playing for like a month, we kind of ran out of things to spend Nook Miles on.
Yeah, we had everything we needed, so there was no point.
But you literally like bought everything that you can with them.
Yeah.
Let's see, there's a photo mode that lets you take just photos of, and you know, put filters on and frames and have cute photos.
Which pretty much the only time we ever used it was when Tom Nook wanted to commission a new building on the island.
Yeah. I am not a photo mode in game person. I'd like never mess with them, even if it has a really good photo mode. But some people are really into that. So,
well, power to them.
Yeah, I've seen lots of Ghost of Tsushima photos floating around.
Oh, lately. Yeah, that's a whole thing, apparently.
Yeah. Speaking of the Nook phone, well, in every Animal Crossing game, one of the things you can do is create your own custom designs to put on like shirts and portraits and other things. In this game, for the first time, you can custom design your phone case. So I made my phone look like the Sheikah Slate from Breath of the Wild. That was cool. And then you can also customize furniture in this game. Not every piece of furniture, disappointingly, but a healthy amount of them. And a lot of times you can even put your own design on them.
Our fucking couch never got redesigned.
Yeah, that was one thing. It's hard to get certain specific items that you want unless you like work really well with other people playing online. So even though our house was awesome by the time we were put the game down, we had like the same couch that we got on like day four or whatever for the entire like 2 or 3 month duration that we played the game.
They never had good couches.
Womp womp. So I'm just looking down some other elements. The town is customizable. Like you get to choose where your houses go or where the villagers' houses go and where the museum is and all that.
Not sure. Only that, you can just terraform the island.
Yes. So that is one of the coolest new features in this game. It takes a while before you unlock it. Like you have to go through the whole like 7 day process before you finally get it. And then some, I think. But
yeah, it takes a little bit, but I mean, it's almost 100% customizable.
Yep. You can create your own waterscapes, create ponds, change where your river goes. You can, you know, break down cliffs or put up cliffs. It's really
build waterfalls.
Yeah, it's really robust. And it's allowed people to make like some awesome looking islands. Like so the time that I've seen some people put into customizing their island is just insane.
We have enough hours already in Animal Crossing. We don't even wouldn't even need to contemplate trying something like that.
Yeah. I like,
according to Switch, we're at like, what, 450 plus.
Yeah. So
that's not right though.
So. The Switch says, I can't remember exactly how many, but it was like over 300 hours. And I know we spent a long time playing it, but I know it wasn't that long.
We did not spend more time in that than we did Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. So we talked about that on the show before, but we think there's some kind of like glitch with how the Switch keeps time on certain games or something.
Island tours. We did that for what, like a couple weeks and then just stopped because we weren't getting anything anymore. It always took us to an island that had the same fruit that we were growing, except, you know, I could probably count on one hand how many times we got a different fruit.
Yeah. I was actually excited about that feature before playing because it's like, oh, you get to go to random islands and you never know what you're going to find next. But in practice, what it turned into is there's like a set of maybe 10, 12 islands.
I just remember like 4 or 5.
There's definitely more than that, but you start to feel like you're going to the same ones all the time and rarely is it worth it. There was a tarantula island that I always wanted to go to.
never found it.
Yeah. Part of that is because we eventually got out of tarantula season, but
you would have died so quick.
Yeah, right. One cool thing about the game is before you start it, you get to choose which hemisphere your island's in, and that affects the seasons. So if you're in the northern hemisphere, it's more like us Americans are used to. But in the southern, I think they have like winter in June or something like that.
Yeah, it flips.
Yeah. I think our friend Mrs. Dizzy, Rachel, she chose the southern hemisphere just to be different.
She did for some reason.
Weirdo.
Yeah. But that was cool because when she would play it, we got to see what what the fall season looked like.
Yeah, that's true.
Because we were in spring at the time.
Yep. So, yeah, the game is seasonal. That's one of the basic things about Animal Crossing. Probably should have mentioned at the beginning, but everything works in real time. So when you play the game at, you know, 4:30 p.m., it's 4:30 p.m. in the game. There's a day-night cycle. There's random weather. You know, one thing that I thought when I played the Animal Crossing on Wii is the Wii had a weather channel. And I always thought, like, why doesn't Animal Crossing sync up to the weather channel? And if it's raining where you are, then it's going to be raining in-game. That would have been cool.
Yeah. Well, it would have been cool if they did that with this one, too. But, you know, unfortunately not. It would just storm or rain on a random day.
Yeah.
But I would say, like, 85 to 90% of the time we had the sunny weather.
Yep. So I guess one of the game's main strength is just, like, you can customize almost everything. Like, what your character looks like, what your clothes look like, what the furniture looks like. You can put down paths everywhere, where buildings are. Like we talked about already, just the landscape and the water in general. It goes a long way. And you can customize your character's hair and, like, face style at any time. You have total control over that. In past games, Corey, it was random, more or less. You answered, like, a series of questions at the beginning of the game, and it determined what your character looked like.
Well, then this was a change for the better.
Yep, I agree. And also, in the localization, you no longer choose male or female. It's just style, I think. So they in Japan, it's still male and female, but they were, like, inclusive with the translation.
Go us.
If you get stuck somewhere, you can call Mr. Rossetti on your Nook phone and do rescue services. I think we only ever did that once just to see what it was like. I don't really understand how you get stuck somewhere. I guess if you're playing with somebody else, they could trap you somewhere, maybe?
I still don't know how that would work.
Yeah. Another cool thing is you can pay to have bridges and inclines built. So, like, ways to get up across the rivers and, like, onto cliffs easier without having to use your ladder and pole vault, which I think...
That was nice, because I having to constantly go to your inventory and bring out your ladder, switch to your pole vault, if I could talk today.
Pole rich. Vault.
I cannot say those two words together. Pole vault.
There you go.
It was just annoying to constantly have to go back and forth between those. And once we actually dedicated some time to get some bells and buy some bridges and inclines, the quality of life drastically improved, in my opinion.
Yeah. And the thing is, they're expensive, though, so it takes a while to you sort of got to, like, prioritize. Okay, do I want to pay off my house first, or do I want to, you know, build bridges and inclines and improve the island,
which is expensive as hell.
And eventually, once you learn out how to exploit the turnip market, that becomes less of a problem. We'll get there soon.
That was almost like a cheat.
Right. So, like most Animal Crossings, you also have, like, a collection of tools you can use. You can use the axe to chop down trees or get wood from trees. You can use the fishing rod to fish. There's a vaulting pole, shovel up, shovel dig. You got a bug net, all that. And I guess that's one of the main things you do in this game is catch fish and catch bugs. So how do you feel about that?
Once we learned, like, which ones would earn us a lot of bells, we knew to catch them, obviously. But we didn't really make it a point to do a lot of bug catching or even a lot of fishing unless we knew it was, like, the right time of the month for a certain rare fish to come out, or if we were, you know, working with CJ or Fleck, we would do a lot of it. But
yeah,
typically, and that's the thing with the fishing was the bugs you could easily see, you know, we saw that big ass emperor butterfly. We knew, oh, catch that, because it's 4,000 bells. So we'd always make sure we got it. We see a tarantula, make sure you get it. It's going to earn bells. But you can see very easily which ones are which. The fish, your only hint is like the size of their shadow.
Right.
But even if it's like a really big shadow, you don't know if it's the rare fish that you're hoping for or, you know, a fucking sea bass.
Yep. I agree with you. That's what I was going to say if you didn't, as I hate fishing because there's no way to tell what you're getting. So
yeah,
if you're trying to hunt a specific fish, you could be spending all day trying to get it.
Even some of the rare fish are not, they're not all big. Some of them are small fish. So you can be sitting there for an hour fishing and just catch a whole bunch of seahorses.
Yep. And so the fish and the bugs do have like a seasonal cycle. They're only out at certain times of the day or during certain months of the year. So I think at the end of March or April or whatever, we were trying to get a specific fish. I think it was the stringfish. And so we literally spent like a couple hours, maybe more, just like throwing bait out onto the water and, you know, trying to get more of them. I went over to Tyler's island and he was like running a cycle where he would circle the island and bring me fish bait at one point.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
And still didn't get it. So yeah, I don't like fishing. I do like donating to the museum. So I guess that's what we should have said. If you either sell them, you can use them as decoration, or you can donate one to the museum. And so you slowly fill up your museum and it's sort of like an exhibition hall.
And it's awesome because then Blathers gives you a really cool rundown of whatever you give him.
Yep. He hates bugs though.
Those. What does he call them? The putrid something.
I don't remember.
But he insults every bug. Oh, it calls it a wretched creature.
Oh, that's right. The museum in this game is way cooler than it ever had. Well, I haven't seen the one in New Leaf, but in comparison to the museums from the games I've played, it was like really awesome looking. It's kind of fun to just walk around in there.
The museum is really cool. I really enjoyed the museum.
Yep.
Mostly because of Blathers. I just liked hearing him give us cool facts about the fossils and the bugs and fish and all that.
Mm-hmm. So there's also fossils that you can dig up. There's like three or four randomly spread out throughout your island during the day. And you slowly but surely, you know, fill up your dinosaur bone collection.
Which we didn't do.
Nope. I did see somebody on Twitter that finally did it. That's one of our listeners, but
maybe I'll get bored one day and fire it back up and pick all the weeds and try to find some fossils.
Well, the problem is that eventually you've mostly filled up your fossil collection and it gets to the point to where like you never find a new one. So
yeah, which is where we got to. It was very, very rare we found a new fossil.
Yeah. And one of the patch updates, they added an art section to the museum. But those art always come from Crazy Red's ship, which only shows up like once every 2 weeks. And I think two of the four or five times that I actually saw him come in before we stopped playing, he didn't have any like non-fake art.
Yeah. He comes once a week, right?
No, it's like there's a chance he'll be once every other week.
I was about to say, because I'm pretty sure that we sat down one day and like figured out, okay, well, this person came, you know, Kix was here on Monday, Sahara was here on Tuesday, and Wednesday we had whoever it was. So the next week we were like, all right, we should see Red. And then he didn't show. Like, we had CJ or Fleck show up instead for like the second week in a row.
Yep. It's quite annoying.
So it seems very random.
Because Red is the one that you want to see the most.
Yeah.
So when he comes into town, you have to like sort of figure out which piece of art is fake and which isn't. I always just looked up a guide because I don't know my art history. So another thing, there's fruits. You get like a randomly designated fruit on your island when you start. And let's see, what was our natural fruit? Was it?
We had pears.
Right. That's right. It's not that hard to get all the other fruit, especially if you work with other people. So eventually we just had like an even amount of like every fruit across the spectrum.
I worked hard on that.
Right. And the cool thing is the non-native fruit sells for more. So that's another good way to make easy money at the beginning of the game.
Sells for like triple or something, doesn't it?
It's like, is it 300 or 500 bills? I think it's 300.
No, it's 500 because one tree was 1,500.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Whereas a native tree was 600.
Yeah,
something like that.
I think that's right. We got I am Chippy in the chat here. It says hello from the UK. Hope you guys get through COVID. Much love. Thanks, Chip.
I hope we get through it too, but it's a bleak outlook right now, buddy.
Hope you're enjoying the review. Another thing about the game, you can plant a bunch of different species of flowers and sort of like keep your gardens everywhere. And there's a chance, depending on how you arrange them, that you can get like rare colors of flowers.
We really got in over our heads on this one.
Yeah, we did. This is one.
It got out of hand.
This is one part of the game that I did not enjoy, that irritated me quite a bit.
The completionist in you was coming out. He's like, I need the fucking blue hyacinth.
Yep, exactly. What am I going to do without it? So we planted like flowers and like cross grid arrangements that took up like huge sections of the island. We made like gigantic gardens, and we did get a lot of hybrid flowers. But the problem is, if you want them to crossbreed, unless it rains, you have to water them yourself.
Oh God!
And the amount of flowers we had, that could easily turn into like an hour long or more task.
Yeah, just watering flowers was always like the first hour of gameplay, to the point where like we would be like, all right, we want to play Animal Crossing, but you should play first because then you have to water the flowers.
Yep.
Oh, you should play first. It's your turn to water the flowers.
And I would be like, sometimes Corey just wouldn't do it. And I would be like, you have to do your chores.
I'd play first and be like, I'm going to go over here and build a bridge. No, water your flowers.
Damn it. And it also got to the point to where, like, if it rained, we were like, oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. We were hoping it would rain in the game.
Yep. But I know a lot of people really do enjoy the flower system. So to each their own.
I did have that one pretty garden set up until you decided to just jungle-fy my part of the island with flowers.
Right. I think it would have been easier probably to just like find somebody online that was willing to sell them or something like that.
Yep. We could have like went and like left something on their island.
They went to Daisa's island a couple times. I was very jealous of all her blue flowers.
There were a couple times where I'm surprised you didn't like, I'm going to just dig this one up and take it home. Maybe she'll never notice.
I thought about it, but I'm a good person.
I would have left her something. I'd have dropped a bag of bells.
Right. And then she unsubscribes from the Patreon.
Take that, sons of bitches, stealing my flowers.
Right. So there's also star showers. We only ever saw a couple of those because we tended to play during the day or like early evening. And so the star showers didn't happen until night, and it was like random days. So even if it told us there was going to be a star shower, we had a tendency to like not turn the game back on to check it.
Yeah. We would even like set Alexa reminders and just fucking not do it for some reason.
Yep. I was wondering if Alexa was going to activate behind you.
As soon as I said it, I was like, fuck, I bet she says something.
Let's see, what else? So there is multiplayer, like we were just alluding to. Basically, you can fly to other people's islands, and they can fly to yours. You can hang out, exchange items, help each other fish, and catch bugs and stuff. There's a big social aspect of the game. I think you can have up to 8 people on one island.
Yep.
However, I don't really understand what you are supposed to do with another person.
What do you mean?
Well, normally when we went to another island, there was a purpose behind it. Like, they had a good turnip price, or they had something in their store we wanted, or they were going to give us something, do some kind of exchange.
That's what it's there for. Like, that's the whole purpose.
But a lot of people...
It's just to get stuff you don't have.
A lot of people use it to, like, hang out, or just, like, I don't really get that part.
First I've heard of it. That seems stupid.
Watch your mouth. There's people that do that.
Just pick up the phone and call them.
So we alluded to the turnip thing earlier. So every Sunday, there's a character named Daisy May. She's like a little warthog or boar or whatever.
She's cute.
You can buy turnips from her. And people like to call this the stock market because it's the easiest way to make a lot of money in the game. So you buy it at a low price on Sunday before noon. And the price is just kind of random. And if it's you know, too high of a price, you start to work with other people. But okay, what's your turnip price this Sunday? And if whoever, whichever friend you have that has the lowest, you go to their island and game the system, get the lowest price you can, which can sometimes result in multiple flights back and forth, depending on your storage space.
Oh, yeah. There was one morning where our turnip price was ridiculous, like 150. And then I think it was Tyler had turnips going for like 60 something bells each. And I actually got out of bed early that morning and he's like, hey, Tyler said we can go to his island and get turnips. Why don't you do that? I was like, oh, this won't be a problem, you know, because this is my first time going to somebody else's island to buy
turnips. I had to record the podcast. So
Yeah, you were podcasting at the time. So I was like, this, you know, no big deal. I started at like 10:30. I was like, all right, I'll just go buy a bunch of turnips. Holy cow. That was actually more complicated than I thought, because I didn't like clear out my inventory before I went. I just took my stuff, went to the island. And then I realized, I was like, oh, so 100 turnips takes up one inventory spot. So I was like, okay, so I've got to figure this out. So I got back to the island, like emptied my inventory, and then realized that what I had, because we would always fill up the house, and I like didn't even do like an eighth of a room. I was like, oh shit. I was like, all right, so let me go get a whole bunch of bells out, because then you had to manage how many bells you had in the inventory, and don't take too many bells so you can buy more turnips to fill the rest of your inventory slots. It was a complicated thing. It ended up taking me an hour and a half to do that shit.
Yep, because even though you have a lot of storage space in your house, you can't put turnips in there for some reason. And so there were multiple weeks where our house was just like a turnip house.
Yep.
And then throughout the week, you kind of monitor your turnip price, because it changes twice a day. Well, there's a price in the morning and a price afternoon every day. And so you sort of commiserate with your friends, like, okay, what's your turnip price today? And eventually, hopefully somebody you know, or maybe if you're lucky, even yourselves, gets a huge jump in the stock market price.
Sell anything your turnips. Over 300, sell.
Yep. Sell your turnips. You get, all of a sudden you have more bells than you can ever know what to do with.
Millions.
Yeah, we had like millions by the time we finally gave up tracking the turnip market.
Yeah, I think we were setting around 5 million in the bank.
Mm-hmm. There's also a website online called the Turnip Wizard, where you can enter in your prices every day, and it will try to predict like whether or not you should sell. Because it's possible to lose money if you hold on to them for too long. I used that, except for I would often forget to do it one random morning, which throws off the whole formula. I'd be like, shit, I didn't check the turnips.
Shot yourself in the foot.
Yep. So that was kind of a fun aspect. A little stressful, but it, like we said, the easiest way to make money. Turnipcast.
Turnipcast.
KK Slider, the cute pupper, he's still in the game. He comes around every Saturday night and that plays a song. You get to request it. It works just like it always has in the past games. You get a song from a copy of the song he plays, and you can play it in your house on stereos and shit. I think you can even set it up outside, which we never tried. But
well, you can just take a radio outside.
Yep. But the concerts are really cool. I like those quite a bit. We tried to, after he started playing, we caught him for like 4 or 5 weeks. And then that was about the time we put the game down. But for a while, that was another thing we had an Alexa alarm for. I really enjoyed those concerts. I think one of my favorite aspects of the game is the house decoration, though. I really felt like we had a sweet-ass pad by the time we put the game down.
It's just hard to get the damn furniture you want.
Yeah, you have to like check every day and find everything you want. And you just get random shit from random people a lot of times.
Like, I just wanted countertops for my kitchen. How hard is that?
Right. What did you think about the house decoration?
Very, very Sims to me. So I wasn't like as into it as you were, honestly.
I enjoyed it quite a bit. It's true that there's no real purpose to it.
It's just to have a place to show off to your friends if they ever come visit.
Yep. Which it is fun to go and see people's houses. There's also bug offs and fishing tournaments hosted by Flick and CJ, who are new characters to this game.
Yeah, you did all these because I wasn't digging that.
Well, basically, you have a certain amount of time to catch a certain amount of bugs or fish. And I don't think we ever actually saw a bug off, but I think there has been one in the game now. But we did have a fishing tournament, and that was like one of my crowning moments of glory in this game. Because
I'll always remember where we were.
You get a trophies for catching certain amounts of fish. And I think it was like for the gold trophy, you had to catch 300 fish. But the event ended at a certain time of day. And so after we got the silver trophy or whatever, I was just like, okay, we have 2.5 hours. Is it even possible for me to get this gold trophy if I do nothing but fish until then? And you did the math, like you calculated an average of how fast I was catching fish.
Oh God, you're making us sound really nerdy, but that is exactly what we did. It's like, all right, you're averaging like 8 fish every 3 minutes, and we did the math that way.
Right. And then, so we figured out, okay, I should come just under the bell if I keep going.
I think it was like within a minute.
Yep. We literally had less than a minute left when I hit it. And I was just like, yes, yes.
You had less than a minute for sure. You had like 5 seconds.
But I got it. Because I'm
that you did.
Expert. I'm an expert angler.
My math was perfect.
Okay. So another thing about the game is there's an island rating system. And basically it's just a rating from Isabel that tells you like how good your island is. It's based on like how many weeds are there, how many like things, like objects are there outside, furniture and stuff, and how happy are your villagers. And there's like a bunch of different factors that go into it. You know, how's your flowers? Do you have bushes set up everywhere? And so I made it my goal to eventually hit the 5-star island rating. And it took us a while. I literally had to buy like every piece of furniture that you could buy from the Nook Stop where you could set it up outside. But we eventually got it. Once I had 5 stars, I was like, okay, that was like the last major milestone for us to do with the game. And that's when we put it down. Cause it was getting cumbersome to play every day. We were starting to get tired of it.
I'm going to go in there and take down that stupid monster statue.
Oh yeah. We put a monster statue out just to get points. But, to me, that was like beating the game. We were playing every day, but like I said, it did eventually get cumbersome and tiresome to me to, you know, keep up with all the island chores, just like the other games. But I don't feel bad about it because it took us like, 3 months or more of playing every day, and we were entertained by it.
Oh yeah, easily.
Yep. You have to keep up with the weeds. There's a bunch of one thing I have a complaint about. There's the tools. They break a lot. Which was not a thing in the past game, really. Past games. And so they would just constantly break and you would have to constantly craft them.
That was kind of annoying.
Yeah, and a big new feature that we skipped over is the DIY. So you can gather materials from around the island, like wood and stones and random stuff, and create furniture and tools and other items out of it. So I do like that feature, but it, like we said, it did get the tool part of it and got very annoying. And there are golden tools, but even those break eventually. So it's just like, what the hell, man?
Especially during watering flowers. Going through like 3 or 4 fucking water pots.
Yeah. we did set up a cute little workshop behind our house, though.
Yeah, that was one of the highlights of the island.
To make creating and crafting as painless as possible. So you don't have to like go into your inventory and storage and all that. But alas, the game does have amiibo compatibility, although I never really figured out how it works. I think you're supposed to use the villager cards to bring people onto your island, or you could use it for Harv's Island, which is basically just a photo studio, which we only went to like twice in the whole game.
Oh, yeah.
And it is possible to time travel if you wish. I'm not going to make any comments on whether or not that's cheating. I'd say play, play how you want to play. I think it's more fun to play it as the game was intended, but that's, you know, different strokes for different folks.
That's right.
I'm sure there's other gameplay elements that I'm not thinking of. One major complaint I've heard is that going through the Dodo's dialogue tree at the airport is really annoying.
Yeah, they could have shortened that somehow.
You can, like, there's like four layers of options to choose before you get where you want. And if you make a mistake in which one you choose, you have to start all over.
That's a very minor complaint.
Yeah. I know they added in a new update just now a dream feature where you can dream and then end up on a random island, I think. I think you still have to have an address or something.
Random?
Yeah. You're wrestling a lot, by the way.
Oh, am I?
I'm looking at what else there is to talk about here. There is the Able Sisters that you can go and buy clothes. We ended up buying a lot of clothes.
way too much.
Greatest closet ever. Yeah, and then I guess for the holidays, none of them were too impressive. That we've seen so far. I did like May Day, where you travel to the island and had to run through like a course, sort of.
Oh yeah,
and that's where we met Rover. That was fun. The other holidays that I've seen were like one and done, more or less, other than Bunny Day, which lasted like a month or half a month or something.
And it got annoying.
Yeah, I didn't like that because there was just way too many eggs floating around and it replaced other things that you actually wanted.
Yep.
Just wasn't that exciting. So hopefully they improve on the holidays. But they did add swimming also, but we haven't picked up the game to see what that's like. I've heard it's nothing too special. You just kind of dive around and collect rare shells. Honestly, like, I'm pretty much done with the game. I don't think there's anything they could do to bring me back, necessarily.
I might play when like, a new season hits, just to see what it's like.
Yeah, I could see that. Looking at the characters, pretty much named all of them. The other characters that we haven't mentioned, they basically show up, and you can buy special things from them, or you do a little quest for them, and they give you a special item, like Gulliver and Wisp. But yeah, so what are your overall thoughts on the gameplay?
I mean, it's so damn hard. I mean, it
really is a hard game to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of just have to play it and experience it because it's just, I mean, it. When you talk about it, you're like, oh, you have to collect fruit, catch bugs, go fishing, do chores, this, that, and the other. It sounds just kind of mundane and boring, but when you actually play it, you kind of get just sucked in. There's something about the game that you just want to keep going and keep playing. And there's so much packed into this game. Like, literally, we were talking about the elements of the game just now, and it's just one after the other. There's just so much packed in. And so much to do that this game can easily entertain you for just hours on end.
Yep. And there's no wrong way to play it. Like, there's so much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with living on the back street?
Get out.
And it's very addicting. Like, it's not for everybody, I will say.
Oh, absolutely not. No,
it's possible to just like lose your life in it. Kind of if you let it, I saw a meme of like somebody looking in a mirror and they saw like their Animal Crossing villager. but I enjoyed it. It entertained us for many, 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 many hours. And so
there were days where that was like the only thing we did was play Animal Crossing.
Yeah. And that's another thing, I guess, with the whole chore aspect. There were some days where I didn't want to keep playing Animal Crossing. I would rather go do something else. But
yeah,
had to finish our duties. but overall, I really liked the game. I don't regret playing it at all. And
no, not at all.
There are lots of things I wish were better about it, like some quality of life improvements it could use. But overall, it's a very good game.
Agreed.
Yeah, so I think that about wraps it up for the gameplay, so we'll move on to our ratings now.
This is going to be interesting.
Yeah, this is a very hard game to rate, kind of. But I think for gameplay, I'm going to give it a 9. I was struggling between an 8 or a 9. But there are some problems with it. There's some things I don't like the flowers and the dialogue trees and all that. And the villagers sort of start saying the same things after a long time, or after a while. And eventually it does start to feel like a chore. But like I just got done, you know, diatribing about, it entertained us for so long and it was fun. And we got really meticulous about it. All right, don't forget that we have to go talk to so-and-so today and, you know, so on and so on. So I'll stick with my 9. What about you?
I'm going to go with... I'm gonna say a 9 as well, because the game had its, you know, it had its flaws. It's not perfect, but it was obviously done good enough to entertain us for God knows how many hours. Yep. And to the point where it even the flaws in the game, you kind of get used to going around them and you don't really think about it that much anymore. So, yeah. The only thing I wish would have happened more often, though, is the being able to swap out who's on your island more. Because we only had, 2, maybe 3 ask us to leave.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to see some. I mean, I know this game has just multitudes of characters. I want to see them.
Yeah, that's something we didn't touch on, is swapping out your villagers. We didn't talk about the villagers themselves much at all.
Yeah, I forgot that.
But they do sort of start to feel like your family, sort of.
Yeah. Or your... But even there, towards the end, me and you were like, I'd be okay if Snake wanted to leave.
And we were like, I will die before Joey leaves.
I will keep Joey at all costs.
Yeah. So I think that's fair. I wish that the island tours were better. That's one thing that I thought was bad. But
because those, they just get so repetitive.
Yeah. We better move on or I'm going to talk myself into an 8. This is another hard category to rate. Graphics.
It's impossible.
There's not really any issues with the graphics, but it uses a very cartoony art style, which makes it hard to... rate, are the graphics good? Is there anything wrong with them? No, but they're
not. At the same time, they're going for this super simplistic style.
Yeah.
And they achieved it.
Right.
But does that mean that it's good graphics?
Yeah, it's hard. I think I'm going to go with a 7, just right down the middle of, you know, good and great.
Good and great. I'm going to go 8. And the 2 points that I'm going to ding it for are, 1, you can't really see a whole lot of your island at once. I feel like you're kind of zoomed in a little much.
And that's a good point.
And even when you're running away from the camera, your island comes into view as you go, but you can't really see what's out in the background.
Yeah.
I know, kind of just a nitpicky thing, but you can't see a lot of your island at once. And the other thing I'm going to ding it for is it wasn't, I mean, I don't know.
Struggling.
Yeah, it's so friggin' hard to rate it, but it's also they went for the simple style, but it's almost too simple.
Right. Yeah.
There's not a lot of detail.
I agree. And that's a good point about the camera, because a lot of times you would have to sort of adjust it to see what you were trying to see. You could have it straight up overhead above you, or at the normal angle, which is slightly lower. But even then, it was hard to see, okay, what's behind this tree in some spots?
Yeah, or what's behind the museum?
Yeah.
There was multiple times where we had a cherry tree out behind the museum, and when I would go to shake it, the cherries would fall behind the building and I couldn't see them anymore.
Right. I do. That almost makes me wish that there was some kind of like, maybe not 360 degree camera, but like rotatable camera at least, where you can sort of see around things. But alas, so for the music, this is interesting because there. So we mentioned earlier, there's hourly music. The track that plays is set. Like there's a 2 p.m. track, a 3 p.m. track, and so on. And some of them slap, and some of them are like entirely forgettable. there were some times where I was like, yes, I woke up early enough to play during this hour and have that music track.
And your 5 o'clock track. That's what it was. It was that damn 5 o'clock track.
It almost made me wish that there was a way to customize which tracks played when. but there's nothing like super impressive about the music either. There's like most of it's like almost, especially like in the buildings and such and so on, it's like very background.
It's very elevator music.
Yep. You've got the KK Slider songs, which some of those are better than others. But there's like 90 of those. I liked a lot of them, but there's some that are also very forgettable. I think I'm going to go it's either a 6 or a 7. I think I'm going to do a 6.
Yep, put me down for the same thing, for the exact same reasons. Like you said, I feel like when we talk about music in these reviews, I always go back to the same thing. Is it memorable or not? And I could probably, you know, take out the KK tracks. Island music, I could probably recognize a couple.
Yeah.
And the KK tracks, just because there's a lot of them, doesn't mean they're all good.
Right.
Because they're not.
The main theme is good.
Yeah, the main theme's great.
I'll probably play these during the review, but like there's a 2 p.m. track that's really good and an 8 a.m. But most of them are forgettable. Yeah. So, yes, that brings us on to the overall feel of the game. So, kind of just like our overall thoughts on our final opinion of the game. I'm going to go 8, I think, because although I do love the game and it was very addicting, and that is a decent score, there was enough things that sort of annoyed me that I wish were like easier to do, like quality of life improvements. And like I said, it does eventually start to feel like you're doing chores, which is not a bad thing. Cause I mean, we got, you know, 250 hours or whatever out of it. But I really like the game. And now that I know how much we enjoyed Animal Crossing, you know, years down the road when they announce, you know, Animal Crossing, Cyberpunk, whatever, I'm sure we'll pick it up.
Oh, absolutely. I struggle with this score too, because I'm between an 8 and a 9, and the 9 voice is saying you enjoyed this game so much that you dumped so many hours into it. You looked forward to playing the game, enjoyed your time playing it. But then the 8 voice in me is saying, hey, you know, there were a few glaring flaws. Seems like a lot of the features were put in just for feature sake. Like the island tours, like, come on. That didn't, unless you're going to give me more options of where I'm going, that feature became, you know, useless. The Nook Miles eventually become just useless and obsolete. So I don't know. I'm going to go 8 because a game has a ton of features doesn't mean they're all useful features. And I feel like they just tried to pack a whole lot into this game. Whereas when we played, we stuck to the more, I guess, quote unquote, simple track and enjoyed it.
Yep. Before we started the game, based on the Nintendo Direct trailer, I thought that the island tours were going to be like randomly generated islands, not like
a
set that you were going to go to. But oh well. there is no final boss in this game. That's not how this game works. Although maybe you could consider, you know, Mafia Overlord Tom Nook as
Tom Nook is the final boss, paying off your loan.
Tom Nook for Smash. I'm honestly a little surprised they picked Isabelle over him.
Over Tom?
Yeah. Okay, so we have got our scores in, so we're going to take a quick break while we calculate those. Can you do the math in your head, Corey, or do I need a calculator?
Yeah, you gave it a 9, 17, 24, 30. I gave it a 16, 22, 31.
Okay. So if I convert that to 30 out of 40, that makes it I gave it a 75%. And you gave it a 78%. Which that rounds out to a 77% overall. It's a little
A little lower than I was expecting, honestly.
Yep.
Because as much as we enjoyed the game.
I think
I guess that's what these reviews do, though. They make you really ground down and analyze the game, and flaws tend to cost them more than goodness.
Okay, we are back. So the score breakdown, I gave it a 30 out of 40, and Corey gave it a 31 out of 40. So my score converts to a 75%, and Corey's scores goes to a 78%. You average those two out. Our overall RPG after year score is a 77. So
there you go.
Yeah. It's a little lower than I would have rated it personally, but I think that happens a lot when we do the reviews.
It does, because you look at it so granularly.
Yep. If I was trying to give it like my own personal score, I'd probably throw out like an 85-ish.
That's what I would have thought, like in the at least like the lower 80s.
Yeah. But
that's where we are.
77 is still a good game. If you look back at our review scores for other games, we're pretty the way our review scale works, we're pretty harsh. It ends up being pretty harsh on the games. So
yeah, apparently so.
Yep. But yeah, that's the Animal Crossing New Horizons review. Good review, babe. So let's wrap up here with some plugs. What is our next bonus review?
All right, just a little sneak peek of what's coming down the pipeline. The next episode that you'll hear me on with my lovely fiance here will be Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, one of your Christmas presents.
Yep. So look forward to that. We've also got Last of Us in the pipeline, I think, is after that. Last of Us 1, I should say. And you're actually going to be recording with me tomorrow, too. Don't forget. For God of War review, part 1.
Oh, that's tomorrow?
Yep.
Oh, God.
although the patrons will probably, who knows what order they will hear all this in. So the RPG Club, it has started. If you're listening to this and you have not started playing Wild Arms, you need to do that ASAP. Our current goal is to get to the end of the return to Port Timney right before you get to the Sand River by August 9th. So, yeah, go on and play that and share your thoughts with us. So what's a way they can help out the show, Corey?
All right, guys, you hear us every week talk about this, but it really, really helps the show. If you can go into whatever podcast app you're using and give the show a rating and a review, it really is the best way to promote the show on the podcast apps, and it really helps people find the show. It's all based on the algorithm that they have built into it. So please rate and review.
Yep. We would really appreciate that. We know you already support us by donating your money, but that's another way too. So we are live right now on twitch.tv/RPGAfterYears. We streamed this whole review, and we will be streaming the God of War review tomorrow. However, since this is a Patreon bonus, this stream will be deleted as soon as we're done. So thank you guys on Twitch right now for joining us. Hope we were able to provide a little bit of entertainment and good thoughts on Animal Crossing.
Maybe a little bit. I don't know. People, if they just want to sit there and, well, they do get to look at me.
Oh, of course. So how can they get in touch with us?
One way is you can email the guys over at the show if you want to. One of them will eventually read the email and maybe even respond to you. Who knows? But you can email them at rpgafteryears@gmail.com. Another great way to not only get in touch with the hosts, but pretty much the entire community is the Discord channel. You can find that link in the show notes, or it is a pinned tweet on the Twitter account. Hop in there. It's pretty active, and it's a good time. And especially for the RPG Club, we've got a special little channel you can go in there and chit-chat about the game with.
Absolutely. And speaking of Twitter, if you don't already know, you can find the show at RPG Years, and you can find me at The Scott Spot.
You can find me at VFL Corey.
Absolutely, they can. Okay, and I think that's about it. The review is done. And although our crossing may be over, the After Years continues on.
Specifically, on to New Horizons.
Nice. Well played. Specifically onto the horizons and jungles of Donkey Kong. So thanks for listening, everyone. Until then, I'm Scott.
And I'm Corey.
Thanks for listening, and thanks so much for y'all's patronage. Catch you next time for more of the RPG After Years. Bye.
Bye-bye.
The beast has been slain, the world has been saved, our heroes are basking in the after years. They rest in the tavern for all to hear, the tale of how they banished their fear. Revel in the peace that reigns through the land. All will know it was by our hero's hands. Here in the after years, here in the RPG after years, here in the RPG after years.